Hi guys, welcome to FitChicks Chat, brought to you by FitChicks Academy. We help heart-centered women who love health and fitness get certified as fitness and nutrition coaches and build amazing businesses. Our goal is to educate and empower women to take control of their lives through our weekly podcast, where we talk about fitness, nutrition, mindset, and wellness. I am your co-host, Amanda Quinn. I am the co-founder of FitChicks Academy. I'm a certified yoga instructor, personal trainer, business coach, and a mom. In each episode, you'll either hear from myself and Laura Jackson together, sometimes we'll be solo, as well as we'll be interviewing top female experts in fitness, nutrition, and wellness to educate and empower you to take control of your health and life. Now let's dive into this week's episode of FitChicks Chat. In today's episode, I actually have the pleasure of having the amazing Tanya Plummer joining me. Tanya Plummer is a nutrition coach and fitness trainer at Tanya Plummer Fit. She helps gluten intolerant women in their mid-30s and 40s heal from tummy pain and bloating, plus stalled weight loss via a high-fat, low-carb diet and fat-burning workouts. Having once been obese herself, Tanya understands the struggles women have with body image and mindset. She leads by example, often sharing her own struggles with gluten intolerance, depression, and anxiety. Her mission is to help women boost their energy and confidence through simple yet effective healthy habits that are easy to learn. So welcome, Tanya.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, welcome to FitChicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's episode, I have the amazing Tanya Plummer with me. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Amanda.
How's it going?
Absolutely fantastic. How about you?
I'm so good. And I'm really excited to have you join me today. You know, you and I have been trying to connect for a little while and we were having some communication issues just because of my end. It was not you, it was me. It's all me. but I'm also, as I was talking to you about, like, I've been following your story for a long time now and I've been following your transformation, and I'm so honored to have you join me today because I think what you have to share is so honest, so real, and being able to share this with our listeners and what that looks like from a transformational standpoint, I think is so cool. So why don't we start with that? Okay. Why don't you start by just telling our listeners the story of your own transformation and how that came about?
Well, it's going back quite a few years now, like before 2011 is when I really started to consider that the life I was leading was not making me happy. And I was really depressed. I had a lot of mood swings. I couldn't seem to get control of my eating. It was way out of control. Anxiety. I had a lot of anxiety too. And I was never really, at that time, I didn't make the connection that what I was eating was in direct correlation to that. But I just thought, you know, I'm doing everything I think I should be doing. I'm dieting. I'm doing hours and hours of workouts. And I'm just not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then there was one specific moment in time. It's almost like that thing that's burned in your brain forever and I'll never forget it. And I was in my hallway. I wasn't married to my ex-husband yet, but we were getting married soon. And I was frustrated because, you know, I was in a size 18 wedding dress and I'm putting the laundry away. And I'm like, I couldn't even finish my workout. I was doing a Jillian Michaels DVD workout earlier.
Oh my gosh, they were my faves.
I know, back in the day, right? I couldn't even do a front raise with a 1 pound dumbbell. And I was so hard on myself. And I went, you know what? And I literally threw the towel in the cupboard and I said, God just wants me to be fat. I literally gave up all hope and all and everything in that moment. Yeah. Within that second that thought went through my head, snap, light bulb said, no, you're not going down that way. Figure it out. And ever since then, it's been years of figuring it out, failing and trying and failing and trying. Because to me, failure is only when you don't really try. Failure is when you give up altogether. So I had, you know, stumbling blocks. I did the quick fixes in the beginning. I did everything. But that, in that pivotal moment, was the beginning, basically, of my many-year journey. And I mean, it doesn't happen overnight, but you got to keep it. I'm still here.
And like, so you say like you tried everything. Like, were you someone who, like, were you doing like all the fad diets and like the cleanses and like that kind of stuff?
I was doing the diet shakes. I won't mention brand names because
we're okay.
Diet shakes, the diet pills, the really serious sold under the counter diet pills.
Oh.
I was doing tummy wraps to shrink the fat away. I was doing, appetite suppressants. Big time on the appetite suppressants.
Oh, wow.
If I stopped eating, I won't gain weight, not knowing that that is totally putting me into starvation mode, right?
Yeah.
So right. It was that hopelessness and that helplessness instead of, you know, and eventually I totally credit my mom to this. She got me reading about Toscarino and clean eating. And that is basically my bridge to how all this started, was eating about just health food. And not really health food, more like unprocessed food.
Just real food,
Real food at the grocery store, right? Yeah. Not in the boxes and the plastic cellophane and everything. So I was like literally the quick fix queen. I tried it all. And my poor husband at the time, because we all know when we're dieting how we can be raging mad for no reason.
I feel like I'm raging mad all the time, regardless. Maybe I'm really hungry. I don't know. I'm just kidding. So what did you, like, and did you find during that process, though? So you were saying that started in 2011, right? And so that's been, like, 8 years of, like, trial. Now, did you find a path and just kind of stick to it and stick to your guns, or did you have some stumbling blocks along the way?
Well, at the beginning, I was totally into the clean eating, and that pretty much, I have to say, looking back, different types of clean eating over the years, that's always been a constant the entire way. Now, you know, today clean eating is like the bad word kind of thing. And I don't believe that at all. I think that whole unprocessed foods is totally the way to go. Where I personally made the mistake is that I was eating what a lot of fitness professionals and bodybuilding pros were eating. And that was a really high carb diet, 5 to 6 small meals a day. My meals weren't small. Let's call it state. I was eating 5 to 6 real meals a day. So that's why I couldn't get the weight off. But the clean eating aspect was definitely a thread throughout the whole, still to this day.
Oh, cool. And what about your workouts? How did those shift? Like, were you someone, I know, like you were saying, you started with like a Jillian Michaels workout and stuff like that. Like, I know for me, I used to do Jillian Michaels all the time. Like I was like, and I like, Jillian, if you're listening, I love you.
I know. Right?
I know. Oh, it's a side note. Like I saw the other day when I like logged into my Skype account that I missed a call from Jillian Michaels. And I was like, I'm going to just like have a heart attack right now. Like pass out. Yeah. It was probably a mistake on her part, but because we had an interview before and that's how we did it. So I was like, she must've just dialed me by accident. But anyways, if you didn't, Jillian, call me back.
I'll call her assistant getting to do that for you.
I digress. But so in terms of your workouts, though, and like that's sort of where you started, how has that evolved or how did that evolve over the years? Because I know that this is one thing a lot of our listeners get really stuck in is they do the same thing over and over again, or they get stuck with the cardio mentality or that more is better.
Yes.
So how did you kind of eliminate all of that?
That's a really interesting journey. And it's just, again, changed for me in the sense that it was all DVDs at home in the beginning because I was too embarrassed to go to a gym, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't until, 2019, so maybe 2 or 3 years ago that I actually started going to a gym because I just didn't have the nerve. I have, you know, high anxiety and doing something like that and putting myself, actually, when I went to the gym, I went and signed up and literally ran out because I was too scared to work out that day.
Aww.
I went outside my comfort zone, but I did a lot of, on-demand videos, YouTube videos. I did a lot of, everything was at home. And sometimes I was doing upwards of 2 workouts a day thinking, like you said, that more is better. And it never really made the scale move one way or the other. At the time, I didn't realize that I was probably putting so much more stress on my body and raising my cortisol levels by, you know, undue stress from over-exercising, but also I would burn out. So I could work out for a good 3 months and then it was like I had to take a month off. And I didn't know at the time either because I was that I was hurting myself by working out that much. Now my workouts, I'm separated. So I turned my basement into my home gym. So I am back to working out again for the winter at home. I'll go back to in the spring. And I mean, I have all kinds of equipment and everything, and I still do a split. So I'll do, say, chest and biceps Monday, front legs Tuesday, biceps, triceps Wednesday, something like that. But I mix my cardio in with my weight training. So it's more long circuit training, or I do a Tabata at the end, a 4 or an 8 minute Tabata, depending on my energy levels that day. Right. So right now for me, and especially with my lifestyle and what I teach as well, less is more as long as it's intense. It's doing smart exercise as opposed to just anything. So get right in, work your butt off, get out, and you're that much better off. You have more time in the day, I find.
And now, did you find, like, when you shifted from doing sort of, you know, DVDs or like a lot of cardio based or, you know, light weights to shifting to like a more of a heavier weight, did you notice a big shift in your body composition and in sort of your energy levels and just overall like a big change?
When I was doing the really long workouts, I used to have to take a nap after.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I'm not talking, you know, 10, 15 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
I'm the sleep girl, I will admit. I'm a sleep girl. I love my sleep. But it was just too much for my body. I was trying to do workouts that were for people that were already in shape. And yes, I do firmly believe there is a difference. I wasn't working with my overweight 220-pound body at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So my body was like, no, girl. No, we're not cool here. Now, my workouts, like I did my workout last night at 7 o'clock and I came up in the best mood. I was so energetic and it helps my energy last me all day. Usually I like to do them earlier in the day, but the day got away from me. But I find that the shorter workouts, they keep me happy. They keep my energy even. And I mean, if you can come out of a workout happy, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how much it can shift your energy just by moving your body. And like, you know, I talk to a lot of people about this and I say like, there's so many times where I go to the gym and I'm like, I don't really want to. Like in the moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a million other things I should be doing. I don't have the energy to do this, but the shift and the change in my energy level is so worth it. And I know that it'll happen. And so like for the people that are listening now that are like, but I'm too tired, I'm too exhausted. Like, I get it. I hear you. I feel you. I am like running on 4 to 5 hours sleep a night usually, like, because lately my daughter's been waking up a lot. Yeah, yeah. Just wants to hang out. So I get it. But it's like, it actually will help you. I promise you. But just don't make it too long. So like, did you find for you, like, what is that sweet spot for you for working out? Like, what's that time? I know for me, it's like 40 minutes. Like anything more than 40 minutes usually feels like it's like too much. Like it's, I try to fit it all in 40.
I always say 30, but I always find myself going about 45. I'll be honest. And that is including my that's if I do everything. So that's my warm up and the cool down, the workout itself, plus my cardio.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
I try to get everything, you know, with my own clients, I try to get them, steer them close to that 30 minute mark, but also, you know, from all the research I've done, anything above the 45 minutes, your body's going into stress mode.
Yeah.
So that will be working against my fat loss. So I'm the same, about 40, 45 minutes and I'm good. Yep.
Yeah. Perfect. Now, I mean, looking back, like I know that you've shared some things, but looking back right now at like 2011, or even before that, before you even had that aha moment, before you had that moment of like clarity, what would you say to the person going to the drugstore buying those diet pills or the appetite suppressants or, you know?
I want to give her a really big hug first. I know where that moment is, that she, in that moment, I know where she is. I know mentally, you just want, you need that one little bit, maybe 1-2 pound drop to give you, okay, I can do this, to give a little bit more momentum to keep going. I mean, I don't really know how else to say it, that they don't work. There's a reason the fitness industry the weight loss industry is a $6 billion business. It's because they're selling diets and diet pills, et cetera, and quick fixes, and they don't work. And they know that. They're counting on that desperation that we feel, that we just want a little bit of positive change in our life. Mm-hmm.
If
you're willing to give the diet pill a chance, also be willing to make 1 or 2 small changes in your current eating habits by adding water, and a little bit more vegetables or fruit. If you're going to do the diet pill and you're not going to give that up yet, you're just not there mindset-wise, okay? But mix it in with something healthier like drinking more water, because that is such a huge part of weight loss, and adding more vegetables, because we need the fiber, the nutrients, the minerals, and we're a processed diet life or society. Everything's got to be ready in 2 minutes in the microwave or in the drive-thru on the way home from work. And I get that, but it's really it's hurting you. It's getting in the way.
Yeah. It's definitely a major roadblock for you to reach your goals. And like, and when you understand that, I think that's when you can actually start shifting the needle a little bit forward.
Absolutely.
Please go ahead.
I don't want anyone to sort of take away anything, because there's always that, oh, I can't do it because I can't have this. I can't go here. I can't eat that. No. How I like to suggest things is to maybe just add a few healthy things. So that's why I said, okay, you're going to do the diet pill. I wish you wouldn't, but until you figure that out for yourself, also add in the one or two healthy habits.
Yeah. We really wish that you wouldn't do the diet pills. Definitely.
I'm telling you right now, stop it. But you know, they just won't. Yeah.
No, of course you have to. It's almost like anything else, like quitting smoking or anything else. It's like, you know that you shouldn't.
Right.
You got to get to the place where you can make the decision to stop it, right? You have to get to, everyone can tell you what you should and shouldn't do, but you have to get to that place internally to feel prepared to make that decision. And it is, I did diet pills too when I was younger. I remember I was taking it, and I remember taking one once, and it like literally made me feel like I was like having like heart palpitations. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. I couldn't wait for it to get out of my system, because it just made me feel so anxious and crazy. And so,
right before my wedding. And on my wedding day, I was a hot mess. And it was,
oh my gosh,
my heart was beating out of my chest. And I was a raving lunatic. Like, you hear those,
Bridezilla.
On my wedding day, like, I put them all to shame. I was like, they wreck the journey. They honestly do. And don't.
I know, like, from an eating approach standpoint, you are really into keto, the keto lifestyle. Can you tell me why that is? Because I know that there is controversy out there about it. But there's controversy about everything, right? And for anyone listening, I don't say one strategy is better than the other. I like to investigate, and I like to understand people's reasoning and how it is working for them, so that we can educate other people on it. So what is your why? Why does keto make sense to you?
For me, and I have to preface this, we're going to go back to Jillian Michaels for a second.
Yeah.
I met her in real life. I was up on her stage when she did her tour a couple years ago, and she always said that keto was evil. So I honestly thought keto was evil. I wasn't educated yet, obviously, at the point. And I think she still holds the same thought process. But
there's actually something in the media right now about it. She's fighting with people about it. Yeah. It's actually current right now.
Yeah, I saw it on Shape Magazine, actually, on their Instagram. They had a video, and she's just ripping keto to shreds. And everyone has their own opinion, and that's totes cool. Totally cool. But for me, I just found when I started to do the research, because it was coming up again and coming up again and coming up again, because I like to do I read a lot of books, a lot of online forums, a lot of blogs, to keep sort of up to date in what's happening with nutrition. And I was just seeing so many amazing physical, but also mental transformations from people who have done keto. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't do hardcore keto. I am not a 5% carbohydrate intake or less person a day. I did try that, and I found it really hard to maintain. So I'm more at this stage in my life, 10 to 15%, maybe even 20, because I've tried different avenues, and that is what seems to work best for me. But the reason why keto, I think, works so well is having a higher fat content in your diet is very complementary with the brain. The brain is fueled by a lot of healthy fats. And I was just tired of feeling like people talk about the keto flu. I had the carb flu. Yeah. I was always lethargic. I was always low energy. I was really high carb, like 200 grams of carbs or more a day. And I just found that it wasn't helping me in my fat loss.
Right.
My body was using those carbohydrates for energy and never tapping into my fat stores. So when I did the research, I thought, okay, I'll try it. I will be my own guinea pig. And if this works, I'll share my story, my transformation. If people are interested, I'll create a program around it. And what happened was, is literally, I went through a really rough period last year. My husband left in May. So between May and December, I was really focused on keto. And I went from a size 16 to 16, 18 down to a 12. Wow. And I wasn't doing anything different. Like my workouts were still less than what I normally was doing. It was just, I was eating higher, healthy fats,
yeah,
moderate protein and lower healthy carbs and trying to keep the sugar down really, really low as well. So I found for me, it gave me what I was looking for. So that's why, even though I'm not as hardcore with it now, it still works for my fat loss goals. So that's why I started it, gave it a shot, and I'm still with it.
Okay. And what would you say would be some of the biggest misconceptions about keto out there in the
biggest
market?
Is it's high protein. It's not.
Right.
Or you know what though? It is. There's so many different strains of keto, if you will. But I think a healthy keto diet is, it's not high protein. Moderate protein is best. You're not eating just bacon and sausages. And I mean, there are. I think there's one, he calls himself the bacon chef or something like that. I can't remember. So it's, you know, people think it's all high processed fat foods and it gives you carte blanche with that, or all cheese, right? The all cheese diet.
And I would like that diet. I'll do that one.
Dairy's not my friend, but I'm a little good with the Parm cheese, so I stick with Parm cheese. And then it's hard. People think that, oh, I can't cut out carbs. But you're not cutting them out altogether. You're just getting them from different sources,
like right.
vegetables. Some people think, oh, I can never have fruit on keto. Sure you can. Find a way, you know, low sugar, low glycemic index type fruit, berries, some apples, for instance. Maybe bananas aren't, in papaya isn't your best option, but it's not a hard and fast diet. And I think that if you work your way into it and just sort of try to be willing to try different avenues of keto. And that's why I say, you know, higher fat, low carb, as opposed to just hardcore strict keto is really, really great for fat loss.
Okay. And what would you say though, to someone who, like, what would be your top tips for someone who is like, okay, I'm interested in like trying it. I don't know if I want to go super hardcore, like the 5% carb kind of deal. What would be sort of some of the strategies that you would suggest for them to even just get started, like from a grocery standpoint or from a meal prep standpoint or anything like that?
I think the first thing that I would say is that make sure you eat enough. A lot of people, when they start eating keto, what happens is, or when they eat a high fat, low carb diet, is they become satiated quite quickly. Fat is very satiating. It fills you up. It makes you feel full. So, you know, all of a sudden you're a 5 to 6 small meal a day kind of gal. You find yourself going down to only 1 or 2 meals and you're not hungry.
Yeah.
The thing that can happen with that though, and you really need to monitor how your body responds. And maybe in the beginning, if you're open to it, even tracking macros, is just eat enough, right? You have to make sure you're eating enough, because otherwise your body goes into starvation mode. Also, a lot of people give up within the first week, 2, 3, because they get the keto flu. So symptoms like headaches, lethargy, digestive distress, not sleeping very well. They feel like they have the flu, but they don't. And so people think, oh, well, this is making me sick, so it can't be good for me. What's actually happening is your body's just going through a little bit of a detox, and it's just getting used to your new healthier eating habits. So stay the course. And the last thing I say is, you know, some people would say to me, I've been doing keto or I've been eating high fat, low carb for 6 months and I haven't lost 1 pound. Then you're not perhaps eating as clean as you should. Maybe you're eating a little bit more processed than you should, and you definitely might not be drinking enough water. You need a lot of water on keto. You need to keep that hydration up.
No, do calories count? Like, I don't, like, we don't like talking about like calories and all that kind of stuff usually, like in, like with Fit Chicks Chat, like we never usually talk about it like from a counting calories standpoint, but do calories impact keto in any way? Like, do you pay attention to like macros, or do you pay, like, obviously you have to kind of like know your macros in some way to make sure that you are eating enough fats. What's the percentage of fat you're supposed to eat?
Well, if it's true hardcore keto, they say 5% or less. I'm more along the lines of 10 to 20%. And now, because I've been doing it long enough, I don't track my macros, but in the beginning I do recommend it. And it's just for the simple fact, I do not agree with counting calories, because calories are so subjective. You can have, you know, 110 calories of, you know, coffee, and then, or you can have 0 calories of coffee depending on what you put in it. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think that as a woman personally, firsthand, but women in general get so caught up on that number that it takes away the nutrition portion of eating healthier. So in the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, we're just...
Oh, no, I know. Sorry to interrupt you, but I totally feel you on that, because I think, you know, I remember looking at like menus for like restaurants. Like, you know how they have their menus online? Like before, when I used to be really obsessed with like what I was eating and like I was tracking everything, I would always look, if I knew I was going to like a chain restaurant, I'd always look at their menu first to find their calorie breakdown before they had them. Now they have them on their menus, but before that they didn't.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember looking and being like in shock, because I was like, you know, there's a Greek chicken salad that's like 1200 calories, or there's this like calzone that's like 500 calories.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, so, but most people would then say, okay, well, I'm going to eat the calzone because it's like less calories. But really it's like, not all calories are created equal. Not all calories are the same. So when you look at it from a calorie, a caloric standpoint, you could be eating less calories, but you're not eating nutrient dense food. And so that's where you end up running into problems, I believe, when it comes to that, when it comes to like calorie tracking.
Totally. I mean, they say that, you know, calorie is a calorie, but it's not. You know, I knew a girl once, not a client of mine, but she lost a lot of weight really quickly. And she was of the mindset, well, as long as I only have 100 calories for my snack, I'm good. So she ate banana pudding instead of a real
delicious
banana. Right? Yeah. I tried to explain to her, okay, well, it's not the same thing though. You're going to be coming back to that 100 calorie snack in about 2 hours, because the sugar crash you're going to have is going to, you know, more than what the banana would satiate, longer than the banana would satiate you. So I totally agree that calories count, but they don't. Does that make sense at all? And I don't think, and I don't teach my clients to count calories, just because my personal experience in the beginning, you know, if I had one single calorie over 1200 calories or 900 when I was,
gosh,
I know,
900, like,
totally. Someone had me on a 900 calorie diet. No wonder I fired them.
900 calories. It's like my breakfast.
Exactly. Totally. So I don't think that calories should be the focus. In the beginning, I think it's important that you understand what you're putting in your body. So that's why I do teach counting macros, what macros are, why they're important to track, but it's not something you have to do for life. It's like when you're learning to tie your shoes. Well, in the very beginning, you have to learn to do it a certain way. Maybe you're doing just a single knot, but maybe down the road, you're going to get, remember Velcro shoes in the 80s?
Yeah, my daughter has Velcro shoes.
To that. But in the beginning, you should learn how to tie them with laces.
Yeah.
Same concept. You're going to learn how to track your macros so you can understand what's happening in your body. I think that every single woman should have a little bit of an idea so you can read your body, how it feels, what your body's doing is going to actually be talking to you. So if you have a headache, then you need to, you know, maybe look back and then see what you ate. And then that's going to explain why.
Yeah.
But I'm not a calorie counter, and no, I have more important things to do.
Well, yeah, it is. It's so consuming when you start thinking about calories and everything else. And when you look at back at like some of those diet plans that back in the day that like had those cards that you had to carry around and like you move them from one side to the other and the folders and all that kind of stuff. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember those things. And it's like, holy smokes. Like, it just takes so much energy and time and effort. And like, it doesn't have to be that complicated, really.
No.
It really doesn't have to be that complicated.
when you finally get to a point where you see that eating healthy and you is making you feel better, mm-hmm. and then you say, because I don't believe in deprivation. I don't believe you should never have sugar again for the rest of your life. I don't believe you should never have a Big Mac again for the rest of your life. I think that you should not have it often. But when you go and have those, I don't call them treats and I don't call them cheats, but when you have that unhealthy food, to pay attention to how you feel. You know it's going to make you feel like crap. And when you get to a point where you're like, that's just, I'm not okay with feeling like that.
Yeah.
That is where you know you're on the right path, that you know you're eating healthily enough on a regular basis that it's going to make you say, yeah, it's just not worth it to me. I don't feel like I'm missing out anymore.
Right.
That's the stage that you know, woohoo, we're on our way.
Now, with your clients and with your programs, like how do you get someone set up if they have never, if they're just starting out on the journey, like if they have never really even thought about losing weight or anything else, they just kind of feel like they're stuck in a rut and they don't really know anything what to do. Like, how do you get them set up through your programs?
Most of my clients come to me already knowing that they need to, what they, you know, that they need to eat healthy. So they're not someone that, like I was way back in the beginning. They've had experience with clean eating. They do work out already. So they're not a brand new beginner. However, for instance, right now, I'm running a free, it's about to close, but a free 7-day sugar challenge. So what that is an introduction to someone learning, you know, why sugar's bad, how to sort of get off. It's not a full and complete program, but it sort of introduces them to the idea that it's not you. It's not a lack of willpower. It's just how this particular food item reacts in your body, and that it's okay that you can't seem to kick sugar, but then I'm going to show you how, right?
Yeah.
And so I think baby steps when you're trying anything new, but especially when it comes to diet change and lifestyle change, baby steps work best. So mm-hmm. it's tackling one thing, and that's not, you know, I'm not telling the ladies in the program to take away sugar forever. We don't even talk about that. We talk about adding in the healthy instead. So I think if you go from it from a point of view where you're like, oh, I have to give up so much, my life's going to be so boring, my meals are going to suck, then you're not going to stick with it. But if you come at it from a point of view of adding one or two healthy things until you have them down pat, where they're intrinsic, where they're second nature, then you're able to add some more healthy habits and go from there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, so just to wrap this up, do you have any other pieces of advice that you would like to offer to our listeners that will help them just make a decision to get started today? So anyone who is kind of on the fence or who maybe is like you before 2011 in that place of just feeling like, maybe I'm just not meant to lose weight. Maybe I'm just meant to feel this way forever. Like, do you have any pieces of advice to help them get on this journey?
Absolutely. I mean, I say this at the end of a lot of my, well, almost all of my live broadcasts, and that is, you were made for more. You were made for more than sitting on the couch wishing your life could be better, wishing you could play at the park with your children, wishing you could participate in that 5K this spring. You're made for more than thinking about it but not taking action. I know it's hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you don't take those small baby steps forward to help give you that little bit of that momentum, nothing's going to change, and you're going to be in the exact same spot on that couch 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if not weighing heavier physically than mentally. Mm-hmm. You are meant to be happy and healthy, and you deserve that. No matter what anyone told you in the past, no matter what anyone tells you now, and whether you believe it or not in this moment, you do deserve more. And I think more, in whatever capacity that is for that person, comes from a healthier eating and exercise in some form lifestyle.
Oh, I love that. And I got like goosebumps when you were saying that, because it's
totally
so true.
That, though. It's totally how I feel. You know, and I think I know that every single woman listening to this or watching this or what have you can reach their goals, have their dreams, and don't wait. Don't wait to join the, don't wait to join the gym once you lose the weight. Don't wait to have that baby once you lose weight. Don't wait to start dating again after you lose the weight. No. Make that part of you and your journey and your win. It's going to empower you so, so, so much.
Yeah, no, and I couldn't agree with you more, because I think, you know, what you said is so, it rings so true. And this is something that's been actually going through my mind a lot lately. It's like, you know, this, you only have this one time around the world, around this earth, right? And it's like, you have to live it to your true potential. Trust your insides. No, you know what you want and your heart desires. Like, you understand that when you listen. So let it speak to you and then take action towards it, because that's what you are meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. Yeah.
Comes back. Totally. You know, women think they don't deserve it, or they find it hard to put themselves first. But if you do put yourself as the priority, everything else gets better. You're a better mom. You're a better worker. You're a better sister. You're a better husband. Or I guess you're not a better husband, but you're better.
Yeah. I mean,
just don't wait. Go.
Yeah.
Well,
no. No, for sure. And just to speak to that before we wrap up, when you just said, like, you know, as women and as moms, like, you'll be a better mom and stuff, you know, like, guys, as a mom, I can honestly say that, like, I get it. I feel you. It's hard sometimes, like, to balance having, you know, a child that you want to care for and be there for. And then I own my own businesses and I have my household to take care of and I have my relationship to manage and I have all of these things. And then I'm like, where do I fit myself in? But I have to make myself a priority. I schedule it into my day, and that's how I make it, guys. And it does. It makes me better. When I leave the gym, you know, I get up before everybody else gets up in the morning, and I don't like it. It sucks. I don't like getting up that early, but I do it because it's that moment to myself and to be able to leave that and to feel energized and excited and have breakfast with my daughter and then start my day on this really good space is so key. So however you need to fit it in, just, you've got to, like, somehow, and the best way I think is just scheduling it. Schedule it in.
Oh, yes.
Schedule you into your calendars.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know what? Sometimes, really quickly, because I know we're wrapping up, will have to be made. Yes, you have to realize that there will be hard points. And sometimes those hard points may last longer than a day or a week or even a month. However, don't give up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, Tanya, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find out more info about your program that you have coming up, as well as you?
You can find me, Tanya Plummer Fit, on Facebook. On Instagram, I'm tanya.plummer.fit. And I have, actually, on February the 1st, I'm starting my 4-week flat belly jumpstart. So what that does, it actually kind of takes the 7-day sugar challenge one step further. And actually, we talk about nutrition as a whole in terms of reducing belly fat, reducing tummy pain. A lot of high-carb meals, because we do focus on a high-fat, low-carb lifestyle, a lot of high-carb meals come with a lot of tummy pain and bloating. So we really focus on getting that down. We're going to increase your fat loss in this program. And the best part is you're going to reduce or completely eliminate those nasty sugar cravings. I know. And that in turn is going to help increase our energy. So where they can find me for that is either on Facebook or on Instagram, because the program is still in process right now. But I talk about it all the time on those two social media. So social media is, I'm a social media gal. Come find me.
All right. And guys, if you're listening, you can also check us out at fitchicksacademy.com. And you can check out more information about Tanya there, where we'll also have her links directly there. So if you didn't write it down, make sure you go to fitchicksacademy.com, and then you can link right through and follow her.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing this information with our listeners. I really, truly appreciate it. And I'm so glad that we finally got to connect.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It was my pleasure.
All right, guys. And thank you so much for listening. We'll talk again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you love the show, we would love if you could head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and review to help spread the Fit Chicks love. We release a new episode every Tuesday and Thursday, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.